Okay, don't take any more calls. Now open your Bible. We're going to the table of the Lord. Now open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2. I think we have spent enough time going to the table of the Lord and taking communion in which we have pointed out that the fear that grips many people at the table of the Lord is the result of a distortion of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He did not warn them not to partake unworthy. He said, don't partake unworthily. Unworthily is an adverb. It modifies the action, not the actor. All of us are unworthy. We can be made worthy as we partake worthily. And Paul defined in 1 Corinthians 11, partaking worthily. You partake worthily when you discern the Lord's body as you partake. When you partake with understanding, not rote, meaningless, mindless liturgy. Not distorted by changing the focus to your own righteousness or lack of it, but discerning as you take the bread and as you take the wine, what Jesus said when he said, as oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. To discern the Lord's body is to understand what he accomplished in his body on the cross. And two things happened, symbolized by the bread at the table of the Lord, and the wine. The wine symbolized the blood. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the soul resides in the blood. God had said, for sin comes death. But the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all, and he paid the penalty, standing in for all mankind, one worth enough to God, that his blood containing his life when it was poured out was adequate payment to redeem all mankind. As one of the parables says, he bought the whole field to get the treasure out of the field. The price of redemption was sufficient to cover all mankind of every generation. Not all are going to be taken by God. Not all will receive the effects of the redemption, but to silence the accuser, Satan, the price, the death of Christ, was sufficient to cover the sins of all mankind everywhere. Peter is talking about this in the second chapter, beginning at the 22nd verse, speaking of the worth of the sacrifice, talking of Christ. He says, 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, and thus being the perfect sacrifice, having fulfilled the law without sin, adequate to offer himself in our place. Verse 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. We are unworthy because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We partake worthily when we take this cup and discern that all of our sins, mine, yours, and every other unworthy creature, were laid on him. And he died that we might live. Thus our sins are viewed by God as dead, having died in Christ, past, present, and future sins, all laid on him. And we partake of these elements worthily when we hold this cup, discern in the wine the symbol of His blood being poured out, His sinless life being offered, dying on the cross because all of our sins were laid on Him. As you discern that, and in faith say to God, thank God for your grace, you can partake worthily and appropriate that redemption by that faith act to yourself. Lift the cup. Let all fear and guilt disappear in the knowledge that our sins were laid on Him. And we are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, who in His own self bare our sins in His own body. Thank God for that deliverance as we take together. There were two elements. Because God not only laid on Him our sins, but laid on Him our sicknesses and our infirmities. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, looking ahead, the prophet says He took, and the verb He used was to take from us and carry it away from us. He took our sicknesses and our infirmities. Matthew 8:17 clarifies that there's not some spiritual meaning absent physical suffering to be attached to those words, because the whole chapter, the 8th chapter, Jesus is healing physical sickness. The prophet says, reaching back to Isaiah 53, that it might be fulfilled what Isaiah the prophet said. So there's no doubt that Isaiah is speaking of physical sicknesses. He then goes on to say in Isaiah 53 concerning what Christ did as the suffering servant Messiah, dying for our sins and bearing our sicknesses, with His stripes ye are healed. And again, true to the consistency of God's Word, Peter, looking back now in this 24th verse of the second chapter of 1 Peter, having said, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, again reaches back to Isaiah and incorporates the other facet of what Christ accomplished at Calvary by quoting Isaiah, except He changes the tense, by whose stripes ye were healed. Isaiah, looking ahead, said, with His stripes ye are healed. The stripes had already fallen and His body had been bruised and broken. Now Peter, after the event, appropriates the prophetic promise and adds it, again showing the two sides of what we must discern in Christ's atoning work, which we remember at this table, who His own self bare our sins in His body, by whose stripes or beatings ye were healed. That's why there's bread at the table. There's healing as well as covering for sins. You and I can be healed tonight as we discern that this bread symbolizes His broken body, by whose stripes ye were healed. Appropriate it personally and say it with me as we partake together. By whose stripes I was, past tense, healed. And take it in Jesus' name.